Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. We are the internet's only college football podcast, in case you don't know. So that means that naturally we have an off season. College football isn't like a year round thing. You can try to make it that. It's not. Like, you can show up at the stadium. There won't be anyone there. What am I trying to say, Jason?
That the off season exists, but like the season itself, it is temporal. The off season
like
is coming to a close.
That's right.
For most people.
Like Bitcoin.
Like jail for El Chapo.
It's just a way station on the way to somewhere else.
We are breaking loose out of the off season, folks, and we are scampering into the other jail that is the season.
Between the off season and the season, which one's jail and which one's prison?
Jail is shorter. So prison.
I mean,
I prison
think
is the off season.
Jail is shorter depending on what kind of county charges you catch.
Yeah,
here it is. The off season is solitary. Jail is gen pop, or the season is gen pop.
Yeah. That seems
I defer
right.
to Jason's experience on this.
Yeah. I, by the way, I did see El Chapo's Lady. The Daily Mail had an article that was like El Chapo's wife takes fabulous trip to Venice while her husband rots in Supermax. Dominate.
And why not? That's what he would have wanted.
I mean, yeah. What, you going to go to El Chapo, like, write him in Supermax for comment? He'd probably be like, yeah, queen, go.
You know what he's doing in Supermax? He's saying, yeah, I sent her to Venice.
She could write it off as a research. Like, Venice is a city of canals. You could probably canal your way out of Supermax.
That's just research, yeah.
You're trying to say he's going to be the first person to escape Supermax and do it in a gondola?
That's right. That's right.
Man's going to swim out of Leavenworth.
Press stroking into Speedo. Gloriosa!
with somebody with a big straw hat punting him, going, oh, sole mio!
How'd you come out? How'd you come out at the Venetian? Vegas, baby! If El Chapo surfaced at the Venetian in a gondola and got out, everyone would just take pictures.
At that point, clemency. Full pardon. Full pardon for how did you do that? Now you see me three, straight to video.
Yo, dude, did you see? It was sick. El Chapo was a Venetian in a gondola.
Now he has a show on Vice.
Now the TV show where Penn and Teller try to guess how the magician did the trick. El Chapo's now the third on that show.
And they're like...
He's like, no, here's what they really
they're
did.
They're like, legally, I don't think we want to know.
That's it. Like, if you're El Chapo's wife and you show up at the luxury boutique and you're like, hey, I'm Mrs. El Chapo, but I want people to think of me for what I've really done on my own.
Sure.
And they're like, sure, whatever. That's fine. You're just, do you have money? That's what we specialize in here.
So she's a Chapa, right?
La Chapa.
La Chapa, yeah.
La Chapa, sorry.
Yeah, La Chapa. And, you know, is now, you know, living the good life. Just like El Chapo wanted her to do. See, it all worked out.
So that's the off season for you. we like to do a little thing when the off season shambles to a close, where we sort of look back on how did we engage with the parts of American culture that were not, you know, college football, which is the part of American culture we will devote considerably more attention to going forward. And when I say American culture, I mean the parts we chose to interact with, because, buddy, there's a lot you could, there's a lot that it's best to just sort of, yeah, man, it's there.
It's fine. You're not from the Deep South, so.
That's true. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
You're not going to, how's this?
I'm from a separate planet orbiting somewhere in Georgia.
Hello, I am from Atlanta.
we're a bubbled city floating high above the wretched plains of Georgia.
Your species is carbon based. Ours is traffic based.
That's actually true.
It is true, actually. Just like traffic and Zaxby's.
We're
don't bring
we're
chicken. I'm still
carbon
upset.
We're carbon emissions based.
There we go. Oh my God. Mm. Carbon offset.
Wow. Credits.
Gas.
Emissions.
No, he's from right outside. He's from right outside Atlanta proper. So I think he is part of the real Georgia.
That just makes him that's more. Georgia, that's why he's called offset.
According to the tweet, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of Georgia is like the bandmates who really want a songwriting credit. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Why don't you write a song, drummer?
Don't do that to Phil Collins. How dare you?
Hey, Phil was always the heart of Genesis.
How come Genesis never pops up in Yacht Rock Radio?
Because you can't imagine any of them on a boat.
Mm. Also, are there yachts in England? The Queen, the Queen had one, but I think it's retired now.
No, they have to go to Miami to purchase them.
Right.
No English person can actually own a yacht.
Or to Venice.
Yeah. Or to Venice.
Full circle.
Where Nigel's hanging with La Chapa.
Oh my God. If Phil Collins is hanging out with La Chapa, man, that's the TV show I want. It's like Fixer Upper, except Phil Collins and La Chapa show up to your house and tell you you're poor. That's
and
it.
Solve crimes.
That's the whole show. And solve crimes. And do crimes. They solve the crimes that they did.
If you're in Supermax and you are told that your wife is dating again, that's bad. Understandable, but bad. Can I make it better
depends.
For you?
It depends on the mm-hmm. conversation you had beforehand, right? Like, it's, let's not rule out that sure. you may be...
Yeah, El Chapo seems chill.
Yeah. Well,
he won't remember things.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
El Chilpo.
No, yeah, I'm that was rejected.
No, keep going. Keep going.
It.
Power
no,
through
we're
it. You can
we're
do this.
Tweet through it. But if I can make it better by saying, hey, your wife's dating Phil Collins. Ah, okay.
Phil Chapo.
Yeah, your wife's dating.
No.
Your wife's dating Michael Bolton. Yeah, all right.
The real invisible touch is the one that gets you out of jail.
I don't know what that means.
Here he escaped it. From prison, no, I famously.
I just don't know what the invisible touch part means. He escaped in a motorcycle tunnel. There's nothing invisible about it.
Invisible from the surface of jail.
Oh.
Duh.
I do have, by the way, my off-season regimen in terms of consumption. Because one of the things we like to do is just tell everybody, hey, here's what we did when we weren't watching football. You can't do it 24/7.
Can we go category by category and just all round robin it a little?
Sure, sure. Cool. I thought that's kind of what we would pretend to be smart by starting with books and then get to what we actually spent most of our time consuming.
Let's have a production meeting on the air.
Yeah.
Just like in the season.
This is called Verite.
I don't know why I'm bitching like I'm making this better.
Books. We can start with books. All right. And here's
when I was your age, television was called books.
Well, the television I watched in book form.
Holly, that's a good reference.
Yeah. Thank you. Don't say yeah. Like
I'm just
you
on
got
pins
that.
And fucking needles here to find out what book Spencer read.
I hope this is all a big build up to be like, I didn't read any. Fuck you.
I read. I would say this. I read nothing too smart. Right. Okay. It wasn't like I spent the off season getting intellectually better. No. I just wanted to be entertained. And that is why the best book I read this offseason was Snake, the autobiography of Kenny Stabler.
Snake!
Yeah, yeah, man. The best part is that it stops in 1982, and Stabler died like 5 years ago. So you do the math. There's a lot of Snake's life that isn't covered. And they kind of have to come to this thing like, well, I never thought I'd get married, but I met my second wife, and that's going to last forever. Spoiler, it did not.
Everything from here on out, statute of limitations has not yet expired, so we won't be including it in the book.
I'm just going to review the highlights, some of which I've discussed before, but I really strongly encourage you. The cover of the 1981 edition, I believe, is a football helmet filled with ice and beer. That's the cover image for Snake, the authorized autobiography of Kenny Stabler. The chief incidents that I would like you to recall growing up in a small town in South Alabama. Kenny Stabler watched his dad and his uncle have an argument. They said, one of them said to the other, why don't I whip your ass at the dump? And they both walked over.
That's what we call Legion Field, just for the record.
They both walked over like the South Alabama Vikings that they are. All right. And they both walked over to the city dump. Everyone showed up, like everyone in town's like, hey, y'all, you know, it's 1 o'clock in Foley, Alabama. Let's go to the dump and watch these two dudes whip each other.
Dump fights. Time for dump fights.
Yeah. Kenny Stabler watched his dad whip his uncle's ass at the dump in Foley, Alabama. It's one of the most beautiful sentences ever spoken or written in the English language.
Dump fights.
Yeah. John Matuszak with the Raiders was Kenny's roommate. Matuszak was fond of inviting like women over, and his introduction to them was to just open the door naked. And if they came in, it was a date. And if they didn't, it wasn't. Kenny Stabler said this always worked. Always. Just, I guess if you're going to go out with John Matuszak, that's how it was going to go. Then Stabler, in addition to this, by the way, says that he really did learn most of the Oakland Raiders playbook at a bar. We all study in different ways. And Kenny Stabler, he found his special place.
Sure. Some of us are kinesthetic learners, some auditory, mm-hmm. some alcoholic.
Yep. That's really all you need to know, other than, hey, how did Kenny Stabler make it at Alabama with Bear Bryant, who was famously strict? Well, you can't drink, you know, if you drink while Bear Bryant's asleep, he can't stop you. It's just true. He can't stop you. And that's apparently what Kenny Stabler did this whole time in between crashing cars and spending a lot of time on a boat. That's it. Kenny Stabler, my life kind of tipsy on a boat. It's required reading.
So that's sorry. I was going to say, please tell me that's your single book that you read.
Yeah, that's it. No. I also read a book about the SAS, the British Special Forces, called Rogue Heroes. It's really great because, like most stories about the British and all of their most successful things, it's like, let's get a bunch of really unqualified people and intentionally choose the most unqualified and then put them in a position to fail and have them do the most insane things. And it all kind of works out, except for like the lot of people dying part. But like the guy who founded the British Special Forces, he jumped out of a plane with a parachute. That was a good start. When you read the rest of the book and you figure how it goes, you go, oh, I'm glad he had a chute. Like that was an achievement for this guy. Yeah, he jumped out of a plane with a chute, not knowing anything about skydiving. He just figured that's how he would learn. So he jumped out. And he hit the tail on the way out and broke his back and was in traction for 6 months. And that's when he thought of the idea for the British Special Forces. That's how the book starts, and it kind of just goes up from there. So that's by Ben McIntyre. That was a blast. Just a complete dumb fun read.
So we don't have time for this right now, but we are going to do this. Let's just mention this and then move on because we don't have time. We are going to write a Metal Gear game starring Ken Stabler. Okay.
Okay.
Snake.
Yeah. The real Liquid Snake.
Go talk to Big Bear.
All right. who's next?
Wait. It's Metal Bear Solid, isn't it?
Okay, good. Got it.
All right, Holly, why don't you give us your books next, please?
I tuned out a long time ago.
Smart.
Honestly, all I want to do is use this time to yell about how I finally read The Secret History, and I'm so goddamn angry at everyone who ever told me this is their favorite book.
More like Donna Fart.
It's so bad. Here's something that fans of modern science fiction-ish things will enjoy. I decided to put off reading the final fifth season book by reading The Library at Mount Char because I wasn't emotionally prepared for the end of N.K. Jemisin's fifth season trilogy. If you know how both those books go, you know that was a terrific emotional choice on my part. But anyway, if you ever want to read a science fiction book that was written by like an IBM engineer who lives in the Atlanta exurbs and is a million pages long and is super fucked up, go read The Library at Mount Char. It's not self-published at all, but it reads like it could have been left as a tract stapled together in a seat on MARTA. Somehow I mean that as a compliment.
Can I take a guess that this is like Mist, but the sprawling book? No? Am I way off?
But like ultra-violent.
Oh, ultra-violent Mist. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Red Here mist. For it. Here for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of pink mist. Yeah. God, there's a lot of pink mist. Anyway, to stave off the crushing familial sadness and parent-child violence of both book of this one book that I was putting off reading, I picked up another book that was even worse in that department that I just didn't know about. But they're both terrific.
Jason?
Well, if we're being honest, it's again comic books, and it's again Thor. Jason Aaron's Thor run, God of Thunder, the Jane Foster's Thor stuff that people briefly got very mad and confused about when it came out. That's a movie. That's nowhere
near the craziest
thing.
It's Natalie Portman. It's not because it's well, it's probably because it's Jane Foster too, but it's because it's Natalie Portman.
But yeah, the whole thing is fucking fantastic, and it just keeps going on and on and on forever. But also, as far as books go, books with pages where you learn facts and all that.
Comic books have pages.
Not if you get them on the computer.
Oh,
I get them
point.
On my phone. Yeah,
that's a very good point.
So they don't count as learning, I guess. So when we were in Ann Arbor, we hit upon the notion that people have favorite wars.
Yeah.
And I realized I do. World War I is my favorite war, just because it's at least as important as World War II, and yet the questions are so much more confusing and more complex, and there are no good answers to any of them. And I really, really like it when people try very hard, especially when they come from bizarre routes. And I found a book that does this called The Rites of Spring, where they try, the author, it's like a professor from like, I don't know, Denmark or something, tries to dig into like the psychological mindsets of everyone involved and like, you know, the cultural shifts that led to people standing around and shooting each other in the face from 100 feet away for 5 straight years. The stupidest event in human history, trying to tie this to like, you know, music and ballet and philosophy. And it's the most absurd book in the, like, it's kind of like reading something by a college freshman who is smart enough to be a college professor. Like, it's taking the most harebrained idea and writing it in such a way where you're like, every few pages, we're like, okay, shit, I think I see how this is lining up. And then like, ah, oh, fuck, I lost it.
A harebrained idea that's taken way too far. That doesn't sound like the Shutdown Fullcast at all.
But like, I mean, for all the parts where the whole thing falls apart and there's these huge grand leaps, toward the end, you really start to see this fucking horror movie playing out where like, okay, you had quite possibly the worst place in the history of the world, the Western Front in World War I. To spend a day there is to have your brain ruined. You know, and most people are only there for a few months, a few days at a time, a few months over the course of the whole war. There was one guy who spent the entire fucking war in the middle of it, and not just sitting around. He was a runner on the Western Front during World War I, and he thought it was fucking awesome. That was Hitler. This is the kind, and like, the book builds and builds and builds and builds toward that, and you're like, holy fucking shit. You know, everything it does to get to that point is, you know, it's just these grand, overly ambitious leaps that are fascinating, and I think that's the reason to recommend the book. But as far as like making concrete, smart conclusions, I don't. You got a grain of salt, I guess. You got to pair it with like some Barbara Tuchman or something.
This is
like that.
I feel bad saying this. Are you telling me Hitler was the Barry Sanders of World War I?
He did a lot of fucking running.
Oh boy.
More like, I think in terms of actual statistical production,
yeah,
probably more like an Emmett Smith. I don't think he was. I don't think he had the moves,
right,
but he did cover a lot of ground.
Both of them took themselves out of the game.
I can't top that, but I can keep pace with Jason's war datitude here because Michigan affects us all, man. I am currently reading two different Hitler biographies simultaneously so that I can compare them.
That's war. So one thing we talked about while we were in Michigan, not at the live show, but just on our own, was that there's sort of a judgment level that goes with different war dads depending on what your favorite war is. Standard answer, standard war dad, World War II is their favorite war, right?
That's the basic bitch answer.
Right. And
that's the godfather of favorite.
Right.
Yes,
I think we've all accepted that, like, there's nothing weird about that. There's nothing that interesting about it. But if you're a war dad who's into World War II, great. Fine. World War I is maybe more like the indie rock war dad, if that makes sense.
I think the indie rock one we discovered was the fucking Great Northern War.
What I'm talking about is like popular indie rock. You're talking about indie rock.
Well, so okay, what World if we War say that World War II like is like okay. a classic oldies? World War II is classic rock radio. World War One is classic rock on Spotify. You're a dad who has discovered the internet.
Jason's right. World War One is it's Rush.
It's
which
just
is
like,
a band of dudes, a thing that I discovered very recently.
Yeah, not a lady.
Like if you want a song that's like 25 fucking minutes and you're like, holy goddamn shit, is anything going to happen? That's World War
One. So it's okay to be war dad who's into World War One. Civil War dad is the one that is that sends up a lot of red flags.
It is problematic no matter where you are. I will just
sends
say
up
that.
A lot of flags. There's a lot of different. There's particularly a blue and red one you want to really avoid.
Many flags.
Are there Vietnam War dads? Is that too soon?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing?
Oh,
okay.
No. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were there.
Right. So that's the thing. If you're that war dad, it really depends on what your personal connection to it. If you have a personal connection, I feel like it's okay. If you don't, it's a little weird.
It's like, I'm really into this war that killed all my friends.
Right. Like,
I don't know why I took that tone.
You should probably go to therapy if you're that war dad.
Yeah, Civil War dad. that could go a couple different ways.
Yeah, yeah. It's not necessarily a guarantee that you have some other views. It is an indicator. It is a warning sign that you should be further tested for racism.
Us as Southerners talking about Civil War dads, it's like if someone from like Italy said they were super into World War II.
Right,
you know?
Right,
like,
right.
What exactly about
Which
it
part?
Did you like? Also, your country sucked at it anyway, so you're a bad example.
Italy heard both sides, okay?
I like people who are into the Civil War because they go, and then in 1863, it got really cool. the ones who are like, you know what I really like about it? I like the part where an army completely raises slavery. That part, that's my favorite part of the war.
I think it's pretty... I feel bad that we talked about war dads without having Jane on, but... We'll rectify that at a later date. My books, to close this out, I have two fiction and half a nonfiction recommendation. The first is called Fates and Furies. It's by Lauren Groff. I'm not going to tell you too much about this book because it is the book is roughly divided in half. It is the two accounts of a marriage. The first half is from the husband's point of view. The second half is from the wife's point of view. The first half, you're going to have to like work a little bit to get through. It's not that it's not interesting or well written, but it's that the bulk of the payoff is in the second half. And I really cannot give you more than that without spoiling it. But
wait, isn't this a Jason Robert Brown musical?
Maybe.
Is this the premise of the last 5 years?
I don't know. I think it's different.
Okay.
I think it's different. The other fiction book I want to recommend is The Power by Naomi Alderman. The premise of this book, I can't share with you. Suddenly in, I think it's like the 90s, early 2000s, women all over the world, mostly like women in their teens and 20s, develop the power to shoot electrostatic energy from their hands.
Shit, yeah.
And it is
about time.
And it is all about the power inversion that happens worldwide when women effectively become the dominant gender from a physical perspective because of this power they develop and what happens as a result. It's like a really fascinating look at basically like what would happen in a world where men with guns weren't the threat that they could be now. It's really fucked up and really cool. The nonfiction recommendation Holly gave to me, and the reason it's only a half is because I'm only halfway through it.
It's a savory read.
Yeah, it's Death's Acre by William Bass, who is the founder of the Body Farm, at the University of Tennessee. And it's just a, like, real direct look at, like, how he does his work, seeing, developing the and extending the research on body decomposition and dismemberment and victim identification. And it's just like, yep, it's pretty, there's not a lot of ways to make it flowery, but it's a pretty interesting look at, like, oh yeah, here's all the shit we can do to figure out who died and how. So those are
it's very useful in close proximity to Tennessee football.
I wasn't going to say, I do think that Tennessee football should, like, they should embrace the body, like, they should start referring to Neyland as the body farm.
Let the bodies hit the farm.
That works too.
Just making hits over here for free.
Spencer, what do you want to do next?
You want to do, let's do movie/TV.
Great.
Let's do that.
Do we want to just keep the same order of people?
Sure.
I'm ready to rock. And I only have one recommendation. And
you're
going to
take mine, aren't you?
I binged it.
Oh, God damn it.
I binged it hard. But I'm willing to. Do you want to? We can tag team this because
I assume that we're talking about the same show.
Billions?
No. Oh,
no.
Okay. Oh, I made you watch two really different shows this year.
Yeah. No, I binged Billions and I am late to the party. And for that, I apologize. What's it about? It's about terrible people with money and power. That's it. I am not typically into, like, the theatrical cruelty theater, right? That, like, Game of Thrones, when they were like, ooh, who's going to get the throat? I don't care. I don't. Like, I don't care about the playoff. I really don't. Like, if that's your thing, like, who's number one? I'm just not into those kind of plots. However, I do find people screwing each other over in ever more creative variations fascinating. And that part I get. And that's the entire show. That's like the premise of Billions is, what if we took a bunch of people who were in and around hedge funds and were insanely wealthy, and then we just gave them all day to destroy each other and themselves? That's it. It's just like season after season of that at full volume, with some of the, like, the part that I love is that it made me realize that if you're super wealthy in New York, all your stuff still sucks. All of it. You could be like the most powerful people on earth, and it's like, cool, I get to go into the city and dive into a pool that's 3 feet by 3 feet. Woo! I made it, Ma! Like, one of the main protagonists gets, like, a really nice apartment when he splits up from his wife. And it's, like, supposed to be, like, the icon, the apex of wealth itself. And you're like, wow, you got a glass box that's on top of all the other glass boxes. Rock on, dude. You did it, Bobby! Bobby boy!
My aquarium is awesome!
Your aquarium is incredible. You should see my collection of something obscure and expensive that I and only 8 other really wealthy people care about. Yeah, there's some... I really shouldn't care about any of this because most of the characters are just from places and things that I don't find interesting at all. And it's beyond compelling and funny as hell. And obviously written by someone who has severe adult ADD, which... I get you, Brian Koppelman. I really get that. So, Billions. It was ridiculously entertaining and dollar bill forever.
I like Billions because it's, I think I've said this before, it's like watching a foreign language film that all takes place in American English.
Yeah, very much. Like, I don't understand any of these
But
people's...
I don't understand any of the references, no.
No. And the references are sometimes, like, they go beyond shoehorned into, like, obviously shoehorned and then into inspired. There is a
was
segment.
Was this my show last year?
Might be. Paul okay. Giamatti. Paul Giamatti has some of the most, like, forced and awkward dialogue
the
in anyone
of,
else's
like,
15 hands.
Minute, the 15-minute back and forth volley metaphor about Baker Street.
Yes. Like, there's an entire, like, monologue or entire dialogue between two people that is all in the lyrics of Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty, and they just keep going with it long after it loses any kind of like coherence. I adore it.
It's also a great place for character actors to just turn up.
Yeah.
For like, that guys.
There's a lot of that guys.
Holly,
in Billions.
Holly, yes, dear. Spencer did not steal, since he didn't steal your pick.
No, he didn't. We've been binging two shows. One is Billions, and the other is another English show we have to watch with the captions on, which is Love Island. And I feel like I should apologize to you guys specifically in advance, because I want to specify that we've been watching the UK Love Island, And I cannot express how sorry I am for only realizing 30 or so episodes into Love Island that I'm just making Spencer's British accent more powerful and more adaptable to any situation.
You should know.
Please don't do it. Please don't do it.
This is not the American Love Island. There is a United States edition.
Oh, we're not watching that shit.
No. You need to watch it. You need to watch it for the brubs. You need to watch it for the birds. You need to watch it for... you need to watch it because Love Island in the UK... Like, here, I believe Love Island is a bi-weekly show or a weekly show. Yeah. In the UK, it comes on four nights a week.
Six nights a week.
Six? Six?
This is... Do you want to just keep talking about my show? No, okay, no one can hear you gesturing.
I'm gesturing. go on.
Oh, no, here it goes.
Yeah. No.
Don't mean to mug you off.
No.
Oh, Christ. Try to watch like 5 minutes of Love Island with the sound off, but then just start thrilling to people calling themselves the Channing Tatum of West Wales. And I'm not a reality TV person. I was exposed to Love Island while hosting a friend's birthday party earlier this summer. And now I'm halfway into season two, and these shows have like 50 fucking episodes a season. It's not good for me, but neither are pork rinds. And we see how far those have gotten me in life.
Neither is college football, so.
Yeah, no, it's not good for me, but neither is college football. And listen, you haven't lived until you've seen one of the most beautiful men you've ever seen in your life open his mouth and throw a tantrum on live television about his girlfriend cutting up his cheese toast into pieces for him.
Me toasty.
It's a man's food, isn't it?
Yeah. They get like an entire episode and a half at least out of a cheese toasty being cut up without permission.
First of all, they call them cheese toasties.
Yeah. He's like, I'll cook me food. Yeah, you made toast, dude. Some of it's really English. The second season, they had to find, you know, like the first season, they're like, these hot boys.
The first
boys.
Season was weirdly lovable.
Yeah.
It was just like watching a big old pack of golden retrievers.
Yeah. But like, they're like the most attractive men in Britain. And like, three of them have never walked into a gym ever. And they're expected to be shirtless for the entire show. One of the guys from Essex, who has never been to the gym and is my personal hero on the show, just kept his shirt on half the time. Like,
one of them wore a hat for like 6 weeks.
The second season, they all like, they put a gym. That's the best part. They put a gym on the set. Like, they're like, no TV for y'all. You get to, you have to work out. And they're like, that's how they found the eight most attractive men in Britain.
Oh. I don't feel great about this, but also I didn't see any movies this year that I liked. Nothing.
Well, we discussed this before the show that, we all have seen movies. They're just mostly Marvel movies, and we've exhausted that topic. So
yeah, and I don't want to talk about Midsommar because it reveals too much of my plans for my co-hosts.
That so. Midsommar, definitely right in my wheelhouse of movie. I will read the Wikipedia summary for
Midsommar, a documentary that was filmed in real time.
Jason, what's your TV or movie recommendations?
Well, Ryan, if you can't handle scary stuff, you should definitely go watch Chernobyl. It's totally not. I mean, it's all on Wiki. It all already was even before they made the movie. So, you know, it's all easily accessible information. I think Chernobyl and When They See Us, both insanely realistic, affecting stories from the late 80s, mid to late 80s, that still resonate so terrifyingly deeply today. Like, you know, you watch these and you think like, wow, everything sucked back then. And then you think about it for 2 seconds and it's like, wow, nothing has changed. You know, like we still have people in power that will literally shovel bodies into pits in order to cover up their own mistakes. And one of the villains of When They See Us is the president now. Like, I think, you know, you talk about 5 hours that give you a complete version, the complete depiction of an important event and connect it directly to today without even having to try all that hard. They were both amazing. They both made me feel really fucking terrible. I don't think I saw any non-Marvel movies, so we're good there.
Yeah, When They See Us is a TV show you should actually watch, unlike Love Island.
I also didn't see any movies, so great job, all of us.
We're doing great. We've been busy. Well, we've been a little bit busy, which we're going to get to next week.
Well, by the time this comes out, people will know why we were busy. So.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all know what we've been up to now. So there, we haven't been to the movies. We're busy.
I also thought Spencer was going to steal one of mine. I thought he was going to say the unauthorized Bash Brothers experience, which...
Oh, he wrote... I think he got all those out of the system already.
I have that filed under music, but the multimedia...
That's also a movie.
The multimedia experience.
What did they call it? A visual poem?
It was a visual... Yeah, it was a visual...
It's a book.
Yeah. It was a visual poem.
I will say this... If the Lonely Island had been a thing when I was in high school, especially early high school, there's a distinct possibility I would have, instead of trying to go through and have a normal job, which didn't pan out, admittedly, I would have just skipped straight to try to be other version of the Lonely Island, which would have been a terrible plan. A terrible plan. So I'm thankful that they delayed it. But the unauthorized Bash Brothers experience is magnificent. Like a truly magnificent piece of work. The other two are a little more straightforward. Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, it's only 4 episodes, which is really enjoyable because as a like constantly tired person, whenever there's a new show and it's like, yeah, there's 12 of them, I'm like, nope, just... I can't. I'm going to save it for later. One day I'll get to that. But it was a nice... It kind of captured a little bit, not entirely because nobody ever truly can, of the same sort of Anthony Bourdain spirit of somebody who like really loves the idea of food and the culture of food in a way that is deep and pure and enjoyable. And it was also, frankly, like one of the few cooking shows I've watched that had a lot of practical applications and that I have like learned more.
Have you got her? Did you get her book?
I haven't. No, but
it's really good.
I've heard it's great. I have like used some of the methods and I think borrowed some of the recipes from the show. But yeah, I just thought it was great. And the other one, Good Omens on Amazon. Like also a pretty short watch and just weird and enjoyable. Just recommend all three of those. That takes us to what, Spencer?
I believe we're on to, we could do places because, we did actually go places in the off season and not just for the full cast. Ann Arbor was lovely, by the way. If you don't get a chance, if you live... in Third Coast territory, if you live in the sweltering South in the summer, go to like Wisconsin or Michigan in the summer. That ain't a joke. Go do it. They're hiding things up there.
You're already used to the mosquitoes.
Yeah. Go up there because lake life up there, lake life is real and it is spectacular. And because they only have like 2 months of summer, they go hard. Like everyone's on a boat. It's perfectly legal to drive a boat on a highway in Wisconsin to work during the summer, shirtless and barefoot.
I swam to the grocery store in Vermont this summer, which is so fucking obnoxious.
Not even lying. You can do that. But the place I went that was absolutely awesome, Rocky Mountain National Park, for one. Grand Lake.
Real original.
It's not original, but it's good. Mm. Shut down full cast. It's not original.
Was this our basic bitch summer?
Oh yeah.
Oh definitely.
I'm fine if it was because my answer, we'll get to mine, but I definitely had a basic bitch summer.
Brian, you and I were talking about this just the other day. No one ever told me how fucking relaxing being washed was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great.
I'm putting a splash of juice in my cranberry seltzer.
Look out, world. I stayed up till 11:05.
Oh god, why?
No, I didn't. I'm lying about
that. Oh, good.
Yeah, that was delightful. Got to make a fire every night in like a summer month, which was awesome. And almost ran into a moose, like a bull, a young bull, just hanging out, eating stuff off a tree, which that was a delight. The second best place I went was the Lafayette, Louisiana Popeyes for the buffet. We did that on the way to South by Southwest, the buffet in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Not all of us did, Spencer. Not all of us.
That is true. We'll get you there, brother. We'll get you there.
Thank you.
One day we will all be received at the Lafayette, Louisiana Popeyes buffet. Absolutely lovely place. And you know what? The third best place I went this offseason that was not within like 40 miles of my house? Buc-ee's, baby. Buc-ee's, anywhere on I-10. It's the most amazing, one of the most amazing places in Texas.
And you've made a Buc-ee's snack discovery since then, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Pinterest is all about like how to make Buc-ee's snacks at home. So they'll teach you how to make beaver nuggets and their barbecue and all of their snacks. Like there's like people who are trying to home, like there's a homebrew Pinterest Buc-ee's cult. And I am a staunch member of it now.
Holly, what you got?
I went for the second year in a row. I went up to Vermont to spend the 4th of July with friend of the program, the Gurgling Cod, and his family. It's American as hell. A lot of Confederate flags in Maine, as we've noted before. Noted Confederate stronghold of Maine. This time I had some kind of gnarly, awful summer flu situation for the first half of the week, but even that wasn't so bad. Vermont is a lovely place to recuperate. And I spent the rest of the time swimming around in a freezing-ass lake and attempting, without success, to drown my nephew.
That's very reminiscent of the, like, the health retreats of, I don't know, the early 20th.
I went to take the waters.
This is, yeah, it's very much like, this is where eventually Special K was invented. But it, at first it was a suppository and it hurt.
And I really did swim to the grocery store because it's across the lake. You can walk around the lake on the gravel or you could swim to the grocery store.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Jason?
Yeah.
Between work stuff and gymnastics, I spent at least a day in Austin, Birmingham, Chattanooga, Chicago, Detroit, Hilton Head, Houston, Memphis, and Savannah. Best meal was Central Barbecue in Memphis, so Memphis wins.
Did you get to go to the pyramid whilst in Memphis?
We opted not to.
That's all right.
But yeah, we did gaze upon it, and our hotel's entire view was of the
pyramid. Can I be honest? I think there is a future. I'm like Doctor Stranging this a little bit. There is one future outcome for us as a group where we eventually own that pyramid.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know if we'll ever get there, but it is a possibility in the horizon.
Can we own just a floor and charge people who ride through it?
Sure.
We're going to have to get right with Anubis before we purchase that.
Are you not already?
I got to check.
Okay.
I don't want that to be something I just assume, right?
No, that's fine.
Because it seems like pyramid ownership has certain hefty spiritual requirements and responsibilities, right?
Yeah.
Like I gotta make sure that I get the prime spiritual interest rate when we put a down payment on this, okay? Because those things, apparently you own them forever. What's up, Kiops?
My vacation, I only really took one vacation this off season. But my wife and I went to Palm Springs for a couple of days.
Oh, that's a good one.
This was in like spring, so not in like the peak heat of summer. And I have never taken a vacation where you just go somewhere and don't do anything. I am very much the kind of person who's like, okay, we're going to this city or this country, and here's the itinerary, and here's all the shit we're going to go see, and, like, we're going to try to pack it in and, you know, like, have some experiences. And it's not that Palm Springs doesn't have the opportunity for experiences. It's that we...
No, there's nothing to do.
There's, like, some nature stuff you can
but
do.
But in a good way.
To. Yeah, there's, like, there are some, like, hikes and things like that if you want to go do them. We just opted out of all that shit. And we just spent, like, 2 days... hanging out by a pool, drinking like frozen drinks, eating meals by ourselves without a toddler. Like, didn't do a lot, and it was awesome. It was one of the best vacations I've ever had. Doing stuff maybe sucks, as it turns out. Or not doing stuff is better than you think it is. Maybe that's the nicer way to put it.
Yeah.
What does that leave? So we have two more categories or just one, Spencer?
We just have one, I believe.
Okay. We got music, and then we're gonna finish with the true culture video.
That's
games.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So with music, my main recommendation: Gibbs, baby, Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, Bandana. I didn't hear anything better that came out this year. I listened to a lot of Deaf Heaven, but that came out last year.
Also, that's Jason's fault.
Yeah, that's we did. I listened to more death metal this year than I have ever listened to in my life.
I say fault. That is Jason's bounty that he gave to us.
Yeah. Now, Deaf Heaven is not death metal.
It's a grim curse.
It is a grim curse
that I have placed upon
curse
you.
Curse of a V instead of a U.
Curse.
Yeah. The black fog of metal has obscured my brain. That mainly came from driving to South by Southwest and having Jason recommend death metal tracks, most of which involved Odin and involved like Norse nationalism, which I appreciate, Jason. You
got to walk a careful line.
Yeah, I appreciate
you led us very carefully by the hand, threading through the more problematic areas of Norwegian metal.
Yeah, as long as you're sticking with we think Odin is cool and not like we think the entire continent of Europe and everyone who was born on it is cool. That's the line you got to walk.
Yeah. So I really appreciate that. But yeah, Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, Bandana. I've been listening to it for like a month straight. That and New Big Crit Heal. That's fantastic. Just get either one of those. You'll be fine. But Gibbs and Madlib are not sane. They're great because Chance the Rapper put out an album this past week, which was positive and optimistic.
And well-reviewed by Bill de Blasio.
I was going to say well-reviewed by Chance's reps.
Yes, well-reviewed by Chance's reps and very much, hey, let's get a breath of fresh air into the otherwise violent, cruel, and misogynistic world of rap. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Presses play on half man, half cocaine. Over and over again.
Which half is cocaine?
It doesn't sound like Freddie Gibbs is half cocaine. It sounds like it's all about cocaine. You're like, what's every song on this record about? It's all about cocaine.
Man,
cool.
The 90s really are back.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's just work-life balance.
That's just work. Yeah,
coke-life balance.
Cocaine at work, cocaine at home.
Cocaine in my microwave. Holly?
What?
You have a music recommendation?
Holly briefly dissociates from the idea that we're doing a podcast.
Listen, he talks at me a lot. Okay. And you got to run an algorithm in your head as to whether you are going to be.
No, I know. You go into hypersleep and the computer is supposed to wake you up when he's done talking.
Yeah. Big old hairy Hal over here. I promise this isn't a joke, but at like 4:20 this morning, I woke up and I thought, in Randy Travis's Hard Rock Bottom of Your Heart in the bridge. No, this is at the end of the second verse. I'm sorry. He talks about how the house that he's built with his lady is still standing and it's got a good foundation. And then Randy Travis says in so many words, do you want to repair this house that you and I have built together or do you want to burn it down? And at like 4:20, I snapped awake this morning and I was like, Randy Travis means that literally. Do you still love me or do you want me to set our house on fire? Anyway, that's kind of the space that I'm in right now. I've been listening to a lot of 90s. I've been listening to a lot of 90s country. If John Michael Montgomery comes on the radio, I won't necessarily turn it off. But also, I really like Betty Who's new album, which is not that new anymore. It came out in February, but go get it. She's from Australia. There, I'm trying to keep this fast. That's all.
Jason.
Obviously co-sign Freddie Gibbs, co-sign Swedish death metal. Don't go Norwegian. Mm-hmm. That's when you're
that's when something really cool
Sweden.
Happens.
They know how to make songs that probably will not try to overthrow your government in a racist way.
Probably.
Also, speaking of overthrowing governments, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes.
The best white musician on earth. Really the only white musician we need. We can get rid of all the others.
What about Randy Travis?
Is he white?
Good point. I'm not actually sure that he's of Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carly Rae is from Canada, so we know
safe.
She's white. No, I know there are not white people in Canada. Anyway, that's it.
I don't have any new addition this year, mostly because I have a toddler, so most of my musical rotation is just like...
What is the worst Kids Bop song you heard this year?
We haven't gotten into Kids Bop. We don't do
Raffy?
That. We're at... Holly... One of our colleagues, Georgia Cowley, came up to me before the Austin show and said, "So Raffy, huh?" Because I didn't realize that we had, I still had my Spotify set to public. So if you looked at it for some period, it looked like I was just listening. Because we play it, we put it on while she, when she goes to sleep, and it just sort of plays quietly all night. So if you look at my Spotify history, I look like an insane person who every night around 7 or 7:30 just goes out into the world and murders people while listening to Raffy until the sun comes up.
That might be an... Man, see, this is where I wish Patriot had gotten a third season.
See? I will say...
This is a parent thing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you... Yeah, I will do this right now, yeah. Okay? Like, if I show you, if I go, like...
But you have boys, so it's all, like, video game soundtracks.
Well, yeah, but, like, you know, just to translate it. To show you, like, okay, hey.
That was going
to
be a segue into us talking about video games, but sure, go through your Spotify. This is great audio content.
I was just saying, like, if you look at mine, it'll go, hey, most listened artists. And, you know, it's like, hey, Freddie Gibbs. And then there's some, like, NERD. And then there is Kumu, some dude named Kumu with a keyboard who just puts out, like Crash Bandicoot music. Right. And Kidz Bop 34, which yeah. is way better than Kidz Bop 33. Fell off because that's the one that has the clean version of 24 Karat Magic on it.
I am glad that Big Boy just discovered the Kidz Bop version of Miss Jackson, which has a little white boy with Bama Bangs singing about making your daughter cry.
Oh no, that's Matty Ice. That's not Kidz. That's not Kidz Bop.
Oh,
that's
is
Matty
it not?
Ice.
Okay. Sorry about yeah. that. I will say I went back.
His name's not Matty Ice.
Yeah, I'm calling him Matty Ice.
Our quarterback is not that
for
kid.
Some reason, I went back a couple weeks ago and I listened to the entirety of The College Dropout, mostly because it's 15 years old, which feels really weird. And it's just like it was a very strange experience just remembering like, oh, that was Kanye West at a certain period of time when that kind of music was also pretty radically different from what was surrounding it. And, like, I don't know, maybe it was just an intensely personal experience, but it was interesting to go back, listen to that whole album start to finish now versus in 2004.
Video games. Yeah.
There's only one video game.
That's not true.
No, oh. There are.
Teach the controversy.
All right.
You know, this I actually haven't been playing. I played Red Dead and then just kind of
it takes it out of you, man.
It did. I had to, like, emotionally I had to take a break from video games, but I have been playing one game with my kids that is wildly entertaining, and that is Totally Accurate Battle Simulator. It's not accurate at all. It's made by the same bunch of Swedes who did Stick Fight. If you played Stick Fight, where you were stick figures killing each other in ever more elaborate spy versus spy kind of wacky slapstick ways. But it's the only video game I've ever seen that lets you pit 100 hobbits versus one mastodon. What's the worst that could happen?
Press play to find out.
Holly.
I've been enjoying the fruits of Mario Maker 2, which I've been waiting to come out for months and months and months and months because, as you guys all know listening out there, we've had a lot going on, and there's nothing that I enjoy more at the end of a 15-hour workday than building a hill that has 100 little spinies on it and just sliding down that whole hill.
Have you seen the video of the Mario Maker?
No. Oh God, that video gave me so. I know what you're talking
the
about.
The one that
so
just
anxious.
Has the rotating columns of fire.
Oh God, it made me so anxious. Yeah. Like my heart is racing right now thinking about it.
Yeah, it's real itchy, real
oh,
itchy.
Jesus,
Jason.
There were two. One was Hearts of Iron, a glorified World War II spreadsheet simulator. Y'all would hate it, man. It's there's
Reddit
like a segment of our
that.
Listenership who would like yeah. it, but it's only for people who just adore spreadsheets.
I think Holly's right. Somebody on the Fullcast Reddit suggested like starting a league or something.
Yeah, I feel like there's a significant portion of our more online readership who would really like this game.
Yeah. Like right now, I'm a democratic China, and I'm the world's only hope to defeat the Nazis. That's exactly how it played out.
I've always thought of you as a democratic China.
Thank you. The other one was XCOM 2, which it's you shoot aliens and stuff, and I managed to turn it into college football content, which will be published at some point in August. You'll see.
My recommendation, I did finally finish Red Dead 2, and at some point we'll do the catch-up episode on that. A few people have been asking about that. But my recommendation, it's not that new at this point, the new Spider-Man. Like, just a ton of fun, really well made. There have been so many bad Spider-Man video games in the last 10-20 years.
We're in a golden age of good new Spider-Man content.
Yeah, there's a lot of good spider shit out there. But yeah, I heard it.
Good afternoon to the Out of Context Full Cast account, and only to the Out of Context Full Cast account.
But the video game is great. The story is good. The gameplay is, like, it's just fucking fun to swing around the city as Spider-Man. It just really is. It doesn't get boring. I think I've beat the game 3 times now, just because that's how much I enjoyed the digital act of being Spider-Man.
The digital act.
That's right. Speaking of digital acts, we have a new thing, right? Should we talk about the new thing briefly, or should we save that?
This is probably the last time we'll have full control of this narrative, so let's enjoy it while it lasts.
Let's go.
I work here now.
Holly works here. The four of us, Bud Elliott, Richard Johnson, Alex Kirshner, Stephen Godfrey, and I should have said the five of us, because Brian Floyd, constant member of the Shutdown Fullcast. Well, apologies. Apologies, Floyd. Good to have you. We're starting a new thing called Banner Society. By the time you listen to us, we've already kind of started it.
Or if you've been watching Love Island, it's called Banter Society.
Spencer, because I don't want to give him more excuses to do it, Holly.
I'm having him burn it off every day in my home.
That's your fault.
I am detonating him over an unpopulated area day after day. This is the action of a friend, you piece of shit.
You invited this British vampire into your home.
You sick son of a bitch. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to like take more and more of Ryan's corner.
Spencer, can you, because you'll say something that will probably get us in trouble.
Spencer's the one I'm worried about out of this group. Great. Great point.
What are you most excited about for us with Banner Society?
I am most excited about Banner Society of basically writing about college football the way that we want to and do best, and covering it the way we do, because it'd be cool if we could just, you know, post up on a blog 500 times a day. And that's not how things work. And that's not how we do things anymore. That's not where people live. It's fun to do live shows. It's fun to actually go out in the world. But it's also fun to just have ways of, like, talking about things that aren't, you know, so heavily formal. Like, we're going to do a lot of stuff that is extremely immediate and involves, like, you know, relatively short notice on some of these things. And that, I think, is like what was really good about sort of the original sports internet, is that it was pretty intimate, close, fast, right? And very fun, very light.
I mean, I am literally here because I was a commenter on Every Day Should Be Saturday.
Yeah, sorry, everybody.
And like,
we gave you Ryan.
We did. And I think a lot of like the stuff that...
But Spencer gave you me, so it's your fault.
Hey!
Look at the fruits of your coaching tree, Haas.
Gifts all around. Ugh. Blessings. The thing that I like, the internet kind of has you know, like coronary artery disease. There's just these kind of hardened pathways that people fall into, and the way that we're going to work is kind of out of those, a lot of them at least. So
we have burst the vein. We're the chest bursters.
We are
Banner Society. Banner Society. We've got statins.
Yeah, we've got statins and face huggers. Come talk to us. This is why I'm not in sales meetings.
No, it's why you should be. Holly, same question for you.
I was going to say, speaking of sales meetings, I know it's been frustrating for a lot of you out there who have come to our live shows and have discovered that we can't so much as sell you a t-shirt. And when you're part of a large company, there's a lot of processes that you have to go through. And we're hoping with this new initiative that we're going to be able to do more directly with you, our audience, in terms of coming to you with live events, like we said before, giving you the opportunity to buy things that we make and like and think are cool. If I get actually serious for just one sec, I never intended to come back to sports. I didn't really miss it while I was gone. I didn't miss consuming it with the habits that I've now returned to, and I didn't miss covering it. But that team that Ryan just rattled off, how could I turn that down? So I'm back. Sorry. You'll never be rid of me.
She's in the walls.
I'm in your suit,
Jason.
Kind of like Holly said, the ability to, if we have an idea, we can just fucking do it. And that's no shade to our previous situation.
No, nope,
it's just a large
up.
Setup.
Companies
you know,
grow
it's
up
just,
and we help
it's,
that company grow up.
Yeah, as the company got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, it became became more of a process to just try some stuff. So, you know, with a compact experiment like this, we'll be able to just, you know, have an idea, see if it works.
Can I back up for one thing that we forgot to say at the top that you just reminded me of? Because one thing I think that has a danger of getting lost, especially here as we're setting out, is that y'all listening at home, hi, you look nice today and you smell good. What's about to happen here is an experiment. And I don't think any of us can emphasize that strongly enough. We don't know if this is going to work. We have a pretty good idea of who our audience is. We've been doing this for a lot of years, as the old ball coach says.
Yep.
And we don't know if what happens is about to work and if we're going to find an audience with this new platform. But we're in experimental mode for hopefully the next couple of years. And we would love to hear from you guys and what you think of it. Yes, I'm asking you to at me. Don't at me about that.
I mean, don't at Holly because she's probably
no, don't.
She's probably
you
blocked you.
You can at me all you want. I ain't going to see it. But yeah, this is an experiment. And if there's anything that you've ever wished that we got to devote more time to, let us know. We want to hear from you. This is about bringing us closer to you. This is me bringing my nose very close to yours in a non-threatening way. Okay, back to Jason.
Ryan, you're up next.
Sure.
Well, I have two answers for what is most exciting. One,
tell the apple picking story.
No, I'm not telling the apple picking story. One, we're hiring a podcast producer. You probably have already seen this. If you follow,
listen,
the deep and heavy shame that every time somebody is like, the full cast is unlistenable. Ryan is shouting and Jason is whispering and there's dogs everywhere. First of all, the dogs are staying. We're not getting rid of the dogs. I want to make
bugs.
Clear.
The bugs are staying too.
If you apply for this position and you're like, okay, so we're going to like move Jason inside. No. We're not moving Jason inside, mostly because he won't do it. You're going to learn to work around it, and that's fine. It's called texture. It adds to the experience. But I am excited to have somebody on the show and on Podcast Ain't Played Nobody who can help them sound a little better, help them listen. We're acknowledging the existence of PAPN. From this day forward, PAPN is a trusted friend and no longer a unacknowledged enemy. So that's number one. Number two, it's really exciting that we'll get to work with each other a lot more. Jason has always done a really good job of making sure that like we overlap and Richard's work lines up with Bud's work, lines up with Godfrey's work, lines up with Spencer's work. But I think Banner Society is going to give us a really good opportunity to do that even more because like listen, my three co-hosts on this show are very smart and so are four again, sorry Floyd, and so is everybody else associated with this project, and it's really enjoyable to get to benefit from their brains and their backgrounds and their ability to sort of see college football as this kaleidoscope that you just turn it this way or that and it's different and then it's different again and then it's different again. Like the collaborative aspect of this and the idea that we will cross the streams more because that's how we will defeat Gozer. Like that, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is now we can finally defeat Gozer.